throne of thy love. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. On that second verse now. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. On that third, all glory and praise. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. On that fourth, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill my heart with thy love. May my soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Wonderful singing tonight. Remain standing, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. Good evening. Boy, second service in 2017, and you're here. Praise the Lord for that. I did find out we've got several that are out sick with stomach bugs and all that, and as much as we want them here, I'm kind of glad they're at home, amen, and watching by way of internet. And so, but we're glad to have all of you here, glad to have any guest we have here, and we're thankful to have you here as well. Had a great service this morning, excited to see what God's going to do tonight, and came in on the end of choir practice, excited to hear them sing, and boy, I'm telling you what, but it's exciting to see what God's going to do in 2017 for a group of people that love God and want to see something great accomplished. I was talking with the teens today in Sunday school, and if you look in the Bible, it's full of underdogs. And what I mean by that is, folks, you look and you say, well, they don't have a lot going for them. But God uses people like that because He gets glory out of them. And I'm just glad if there's a group of folks that want to see God do great things and gives Him the glory for it, I'm glad He'll meet with them and use them. And I believe we're right for that in 2017, aren't you? So we're excited to see that. Good to have Brother Fry and Miss Polly with us tonight. And praise the Lord. Brother Fry, you finally, you get to pay for your seat, you finally get to use it, don't you? Amen. And as they're out traveling, I tell you what, I'm thankful that Brother Fry and Miss Polly are faithful in their tithes and offerings. And he always kids and said they're the most unfaithful members we have because they're out traveling preaching. But boy, the last month or so, they've been a fixture around here, and we're glad to have them back tonight before they head off and preach again in 2017. So we want to pray for them, those that are sick, and ask God to meet with us. So let's pray together. Father, as we come to you with thankful hearts, we are thankful that you would meet with us here tonight. And our prayer is that you'd revive us again. Father, I thank you for Brother Fry and Miss Polly and their faithfulness, and pray for 2017 you'd give them a fruitful year. As you've been so faithful to do, pray that you'd meet every need they've got, give them traveling mercies. We do want to lift those up to you tonight that are sick, those that have this stomach bug, and God, others that are in the hospital and have different things going on in their lives. Just pray, God, that you'd touch their bodies, those that are facing trials and tribulations in their life. Father, you know how to meet every need, and encourage us tonight. I pray that you would empower us to preach, and those that are singing tonight, the choir and the special singers, I pray the presence and the power of God would fall down on this place, that you do something supernatural. So when we leave here tonight, we'll know that we've been in the presence of a holy God. Do that which we can't do ourselves, and we'll be a thankful people, a grateful people. Give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated.
I hope you can say that tonight, that he did come and lift you up out of that miry place of sin in your life. And at this song we sing, at the cross where I first saw the light, page 55. Let's stand to sing it together tonight. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die?
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy.
Turn around to fellowship as the choir comes down. Back to our seats. Let's go into that second verse. Was it for crimes that I have done?
Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am.
On that third, well might the sun in darkness hide.
Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in. When Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I
own that last but drops of grief.
But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. All
page number 223, draw me near. I'm sorry, I had it and then I lost it. That don't ever happen to you, just me. I'm thine, O Lord.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard my voice and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleed.
On that second verse.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
On that last verse, now ushers, you come. There are depths of love.
There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Wonderful singing. Remain standing, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. Wonderful singing tonight, choir. Appreciate that. And I'm glad for the day he lifted me out. And boy, I tell you what, we've had some good singing today, this morning, tonight. All the music's been right on target. And I'm glad that we're still singing the old stuff. Amen. And I'm still glad that it still works and still glorifies God. And boy, I tell you what, everybody else can go the way of the world, but God still needs some folks going to stick with him. I'm glad you're doing that. Well, we're going to pray, receive our offering. Then Brother Matt's going to come give us our missions update. And I want to make again, as we talked about 2017, last year we kind of implemented giving you a missions update every Sunday night, and we're going to do a little more. We're going to do it on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I want you to see where your faith promise missions dollars are going and what God's using it for. Now, I think it'll keep us encouraged knowing that we're taking part in the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when you think about that, it's not just that we write a check every week, but it's going to support a missionary that is spreading the gospel and doing what we can't do. You know, you can't be a New Testament church unless you support missions, because there's no way that we can get out to the uttermost parts of the earth and carry the gospel. But I'm glad there are people, and we're having our missions conference in just a couple months. We're changing that up a little bit this year. I was talking to a missionary, and he said every missions conference we have seems like is in October. And I said, well, let's change it. We're going to have ours in April. We do things different. Amen. And so just in a few months, we're going to have our missions conference, and excited about that. And just want to keep you encouraged about giving to missions, because I know this, oftentimes the first thing that goes in our giving is our missions. We'll say, well, you know, the missionary doesn't need it. He does need it. And we need to continue to give to missions and be faithful in our giving. And God will always, always, always take care of those that take care of his work. And so continue that, and appreciate what you give already. And we're going to pray, receive our offering this evening. So let's pray. Brother Johnny Shoemaker, if you would, pray for us.
Father, once again, we come to you tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, it's such a privilege, God, to be in your house tonight, Lord. Father, I thank you for the service we had this morning. God, I pray that you'd be with us tonight, though, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd stir hearts, those that are here, God. I pray that you touch each and every one of us, Lord. Father, these that are at home sick, God. These that just couldn't make it, God, due to sickness. Or, Father, these that are they're just not well tonight, I pray that you'd bless them, Father. I pray that you'd help them, God, to recover. I pray that you'd bring them back, God. I pray that you'd just, Lord, have your will and your way tonight, God. Be with the man of God as he stands before us. I pray that you'd give him the words that are our hearts. Help us, Father, to pay attention on purpose, God. Father, I pray for that soul that may be here tonight, Lord, that's lost. And one that may be walking far off, Lord, that you'd touch them, God. Stir their hearts, Lord, help them to come to the loving Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray for your wisdom and direction in this service. God, yes. Bless this offering now as we receive it. God, we just pray that you'd help us to use it according to thy will.
Yes.
Lord, we do praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. Praises to him I sing, onward I go. Closely to him I cling, blessings still flow. I love my Savior too. Walking with him each day, love light doth shine.
Doing his will away, never repine.
Kneeling to him I pray, thy will not mine.
I love my Savior too. Happy to serve my friend, lean on his arm. Rapture will never end, nothing alarm. Voices will sweetly blend under his charm. I love my Savior too.
Church, just want to highlight one quick family tonight, and that would be the Damascus family, who are church planters to Scotland. All right, thank you, brother. All right, so first, they just want to say, dear pastor and church family, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. November has passed, and now December is upon us. We praise the Lord for his blessings during this holiday season. He'd also like to let us know that their support has increased to 69% and almost reached their personal goal of 70%. By December. So that's a praise to God for that. So they're looking forward to the new year. They'd like to ask the church to remember, pray for their vehicle. Their van has over 265,000 miles on it. So be in prayer for them that that thing will keep going, that little Holy Ghost power getting that thing and it keep rolling. So be in prayer for that. They'd also like to praise the Lord for the time they got to spend with their family during Thanksgiving. Had a really busy schedule. They had meetings in South Carolina all the way to Ohio for Thanksgiving, and then back to Florida that same weekend for more travel, more meetings. So be in prayer for them for safety as they go on the road. So, and then lastly, in closing, they said they never want to go a letter without thanking you all, us, for prayers and support. You're all a blessing to us, and we pray for you all often. Pray that we reach our goal this summer and be in Scotland, and pray for the hearts of the Scots to be open to the gospel and get saved before it's too late. May God bless you all and give you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. In Christ, the Damascus family, your missionaries to Scotland. So just as the pastor said, keep up the faith promise given, whatever God lays on your heart, and I promise you God will get them there, and he'll bless you in return. It's God always comes through, so just keep them in prayer. Keep the prayer for your faith promise coming up with missions conference. It's never a bad thing to give to God, because he'll always give back to you. So be in prayer for that, and thank you, Pastor. Amen.
David said, he's like a shepherd. He knows our every need. Leads us by the gentle water, where our hungering soul he feeds. As a little lamb, I'm helpless. My soul I can't defend. I'm so glad the Lord's my shepherd. On Him I will depend. Oh, it's in the Savior's hands, those precious nail-pierced hands. Though driven through with nails, those precious hands will never fail. I may not understand, I'm trusting in the great I am. It's good to know it's in the Savior's hands. Now in the time of my confusion, when I can't find the way, so bewildered from the battle, don't even know for what to pray, I'm glad that somewhere in the shadows of my trouble and my fear, it's the shepherd sent from heaven. I can see Him through my tears. Oh, it's in the Savior's hands, those precious nail-pierced hands. Though driven through with nails, those precious hands, they'll never fail. I may not understand, I'm trusting in the great I am. It's good to know it's in the Savior's hand. Understand, I'm trusting in the great I am. It's good to know it's in the Savior's hands.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Tim. Appreciate the good singing. Boy, the ladies' trio, they were on target too, weren't they? Appreciate that. I'm so thankful for good music. And I was talking to a preacher friend of mine this week. Said he had spoken to a friend of his that they had found a new church to go to. And he said, well, how is it? He said, oh, brother, he said, the music is phenomenal. And he said, you know, we love our music. And he said, how about the preaching? He said, preaching is good. And I thought, you know, again, we got to have that balance. We got to have the right emphasis, and the right emphasis must be on preaching. But always music can help or hurt what we're trying to do for Christ. And I appreciate all the good singing, all the good preparation that goes into it. A lot of times we don't put enough preparation into what we do. And we give God second best, third best, whatever it takes. And part of that preparation is making sure that we pick the right songs and the right kind of music and things that will be a blessing and a help to God's people. And when we do that, God will use it. And again, remember this, that singing is a way that we honor God. It's a way that we praise and worship God. So our first priority must be to Him and not to me. Amen, and I appreciate the good singing tonight. I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 tonight, Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to read one verse. We're going to start, I don't know that I'd call it a series. I really, as I mentioned this morning, we're kind of going in a little different direction this year, and what I mean by that is we're going to try, probably won't preach as many series messages. On Sunday mornings, we're going to preach through the book of John. Wednesday night, we're going to continue in the book of Romans. And then on Sunday night, I'm going to deal with some practical issues in the Christian life and things that you and I struggle with. And things, as we think about this, the Bible tells us we're to be perfect or mature. And in order to be mature, we have to find things that we lack in. And I mentioned this Wednesday night. It's not that God completely wants to overhaul everything we're doing all the time. A lot of times we just need some small adjustments in our Christian walk, and God can look at us and say, you know, here's an area in your life that needs to be improved upon, and here's an area of your life you're doing well with. And when we do that, we can make small adjustments. And we went while we were took the teens on the teen retreat, we went to the Wonder Works, and many of you have probably seen that house. It's turned upside down. And one of the things I thought, you know, I was going to try, they had like a little simulator where you try to land the space shuttle. And I thought, well, you know, this can't be too hard. You got a joystick there, and all you got to do is land that space shuttle on that runway. And yeah, it looked easy. And you'd get going, and you'd get going a little bit too far to the left. And you'd yank that thing back over, and then you'd go too far to the right. And then you'd look at the horizon thing, and you're going too low, and you'd yank it back, and you'd go too high. And every adjustment I made was a major adjustment. And every major adjustment means I have to make another major adjustment to try to get it back where it needs to be. And so if we'll stay in line and we'll keep that horizon right and we'll keep things balanced in our life, we don't need to make big adjustments. We may just need to make small adjustments. And small adjustments are a lot easier to make than big adjustments, aren't they? And so that's really what we want to focus on, some areas of our life as Christians that you and I may struggle with, that God gives us insight in the Word of God. And I hope it will help you grow as a Christian. Again, I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's areas of your life you need an overhaul. But I think for most people, what we need are small adjustments to make us more like Christ. And so Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48, you can remain seated tonight, says this, "Be ye therefore perfect." Now, that scares me already, doesn't it, you? Because I realize that I can't be perfect. But again, we have to define what that word perfect means. It says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." So when we think of that word perfect, we think automatically without a flaw. And we understand that in our flesh, there's no way that you and I can be perfect. There's no way we're going to walk on water. There's no way that we're going to live this Christian life without making mistakes. So what is it the Bible's trying to teach us? Well, I believe if we look at it, we have to understand that word perfect means to be mature or to be balanced. And I want to give you a message tonight on finding balance in the Christian life. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight, I want to thank you again for who you are. I want to thank you for the power that's available to us. I want to thank you for in a time of turmoil and trial, we can have balance in our life. We can walk with you. And I pray that it'd be our desire tonight, each one of us, to have a closer walk with you in this new year. And so tonight, take the message, use it as you see fit to bring honor and glory to yourself and to help your people. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You don't have to be seated tonight. You already are. So as we think about this idea of finding balance in the Christian life, really we need balance in every aspect of our life, because what happens is oftentimes we're going full throttle at something. We're going full throttle at ministry. We're going full throttle at your job. We're going full throttle with the kids. We're going full throttle in all these different directions. And what happens is we get what's called burnout. And often, instead of just finding that balance and finding minor adjustments, we go to the opposite end and we do absolutely nothing. I've met so many people in 15 years of pastoring, and even before that, they'll go for hard as they can go, Brother Johnny, for a little while, and then they'll get tired of ministry. They'll get tired of singing in the choir. They'll get tired of working with the youth. They'll get tired of being an usher. They'll get tired of preaching. They'll get tired of teaching. They'll say, "I need a break." And what that tells me is there's no balance in their life. Because let's be honest, God did not call us to minister for a couple years and then sit on a church pew and do absolutely nothing. He wants us, as long as we're able, as long as we're saved, God wants us in ministry. He wants us helping other people. So what is the key to that? Brother Fry, I believe, would tell you, in all the years he's pastored, he had to find some balance somewhere. We have to work hard for the cause of Christ. And I'm not saying tonight that we slow down. In 2017, we're going to knock it up three notches. But I believe in order to do that, we've got to find balance in our Christian life. And so one of the most difficult areas in our life, Christian life, is that very thing of balance. Finding that area where we can still work for God and be effective, but also have a personal life with our family. And I'm not naive. I'm not dumb. I understand that when you look at me as a pastor, you say, "Well, your whole life is ministry." And a lot of times pastors don't take that into consideration, that you, as a church member, you've got a full-time job, you've got a family, you've got church, you've got other things, and I want to be very sensitive to that. I think it's very unfair. I was preaching for a guy several years ago, and he had called me and said, "I want to preach for me on Friday night." I said, "Great." And so I get there, and he said, "You're going to be the third preacher." And I said, "The third preacher?" And he said, "Yeah, every night we've had three preachers." And he said, "So tonight you're going to be the third preacher." And we've done this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I got in the pulpit at 10 o'clock. And I thought, my soul, these folks have been here since 7 o'clock. They about sang them to death. They preached to them for 2 hours. And now it's 10 o'clock. And what am I going? And I look out across the congregation. And Brother Fry, you've mentioned this to me before. You look. And you can just tell they are dead. And so I just gave them a scripture and gave them about 2 quick points, 10 minutes, and prayed and ended the service. And he said, "Brother, why didn't you preach?" And he said, "I don't understand it. It's Friday night." And he said, "Every night the attendance dwindles more and more." And I said, "Brother, can I be honest with you?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You're killing them. You're killing them. And you keep them up till 10, 11 o'clock at night, and they got to get up and go to work, and they got to get home and cook dinner. And some of these pastors are laying in bed the next day till 11 o'clock, and they're not sensitive to the people they're preaching to. I don't want to be that. I want to work as hard in ministry as you do in your secular job. And I want to be able to just to labor together. And I want to labor together with you for the cause of Christ for many years until Jesus comes. I don't want to see people burning out. I don't want to see people quitting, because God doesn't get glory in people quitting. And so how do we remedy that? How do you and I have a long-lasting relationship as church members, as pastor, laboring together for the cause of Christ? And I believe the answer is found in this, the word balance. And so as we look at that, hey, this is going to be the shortest message that I'm going to preach so far this year. So let's look at that. The Bible gives the command for us to be perfect. And the word perfect, as we mentioned, means mature or balanced. And Jesus challenges his followers to be balanced. He understands that there's that toll of ministry that's on us. He understands, even himself, when he was here on earth, he would go hard at it. And he would work and he'd labor, but he had to have some time of rest. My pastor always said this, there are times you need to come apart or you'll come apart. And I didn't realize that for years. But I understand now that there are times you need to have a vacation. You need to get away. And my friend, my family, we talked today and said we need to go ahead and plan our vacations for the year. And they're excited about it. And I'm excited about it. So when you look and say, "Pastor's on vacation." Yes, I am. And I don't apologize for it. Amen. But you need to. It doesn't need to be every weekend in the summer. Say amen right there. But you need to schedule some time where you can be refreshed. And even when you're not in those times, there needs to be balance. So how is it that we have balance? Well, first of all, we have to identify some areas where we must have balance in our life. And it's not all ministry and rest. There are some areas, if we're not careful, we get out of balance, don't we? And the first one is this, in our family relationships. Now think about this, areas where we must have balance. It's first of all in our family relationships. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, when we look at family, if we're not careful, those relationships can get out of balance. First of all, let me ask you this, as a husband and wife, if we're not careful, we've got 4 kids. Many of you have 2, 1, 3, 18 kids, whatever you got. If you're not careful, your life gets out of balance, and every effort and every thought and everything is done for the children, and the children end up hurting that marital relationship. Now, we're guilty of this, my wife and I. Probably, if you were honest, you'd be guilty of that as well. And so think about this. We have to care for our children, but oftentimes that care gets out of balance. Now, when a man and woman gets married, God supernaturally, the Bible said they become one flesh. And so when they become one flesh, and we say this, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Well, you know what? That includes children. Am I on? So what happens oftentimes is a husband and wife, they have that relationship, and then they have children, and then it's all about the kids, and then 18 years later, if you've done it right, they're leaving, and they're getting out of your house, and then that husband and wife realize they don't have anything in common, and they got problems. And so really, in order to have balance in that family relationship, we have to understand that when a man and woman get together, then what happens is God supernaturally puts them together and makes them one flesh. And if no man is supposed to tear them apart, by the way, that also means the offspring. Well, Tim, I've met folks that Boy, the parents love church and they love coming to our church, but here's the kids, and because we don't go to rock and roll concerts, and because we don't let them act like a bunch of wild animals at youth events and do anything they want to, and, you know, have boys and girls in the back of the van holding hands and who knows what else, they want to go somewhere else. And the next thing you know, the parents say, well, you know, we've got to have our kids in church somewhere. Listen, you're the adult, you're the parent. They're not there to run your house, you're there to run their house, amen? And so we have to understand that if we're not careful, those lovable little children will take all our time. And they'll get our life, they'll get our home life out of balance. So if no one is allowed to destroy that union between a husband and wife, my friend, listen, that also means your children. Now, I know you don't want to hear that, because you look and say, well, my children are my life. Well, then you need to adjust your priorities. Because if you're married, your spouse is supposed to be your life. Hello? I'm glad. Listen, I'm thankful. My children are a blessing. They're a gift of God. But listen, if it comes between my children and my wife, my priority and my allegiance and my responsibility is to be to her over the children. Oh, this ain't going to be fun, is it? Next of all, this one's even going to be worse. There has to be balance in our family relationship when it comes to our spouse and parents. The Bible said that we're to leave father and mother and cleave. So we're to separate here and we're to cleave here. Now, by the way, that happens on two parts. As a husband and wife, you need to understand that the moment you say I do, you have transferred that authority in your life from your parents to your spouse. They are first place in your life. Well, that means you don't run home to mama every time there's a problem, because I know this. If Sweetie Pie comes and tells mom and daddy about an argument that you and honey have, guess whose side they're going to take? Sweetie Pie's. And then when Sweetie Pie and Honey Bear get back together and are happy again, in the back of mom and daddy's mind, they're saying, that happened, and they may have forgiven each other, but I don't know that I can. And by the way, I've said it before, I'll say it again, there's three sides to the story. There's his, hers, and the truth. And if you don't sever, and I'm not saying you disrespect your parents, by the way. Hey, I don't care if you're 150 years old. If you've got living parents, the Bible says you're to honor them and you're to respect them. But at the same time, may I say this, when your allegiance is to your parents over your spouse, there is a problem. Now, I understand that's in a great world, a perfect world where husband and wife love God. But even with that, we have to be careful that we put the priorities in the proper perspective, because if you honor your mother and father over your spouse, you've got your priorities messed up. Can I say this? Because a lot of you are shaking your head, but mom and daddy, that means that you've got to let them go too. Huh? Best thing you can do when your son or daughter gets married and they come to you whining about it, you just say, go home and fix it. Amen? Go talk to the pastor. Go talk to somebody. And don't go talking to your friends over coffee about your marital relationship. And don't go talking to the boys at work. And don't come running back to me. If you need counseling, go to your pastor and say, you know what, pastor, you be a third party. You stay out of it and you give us what we see. And by the way, if you come talk to me, that's what I'm going to do. I don't have a dog in the fight. Amen. I'm Bennett and I ain't in it. I'll just try to fix it. But as parents, you need to take your hand off. Now, if they ask for your advice, you ought to give it to them. Amen? You ought to give them godly advice. But don't go sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. Amen. Well, I'm not going to make any friends on this series, am I? But see, that spouse and parents, there has to be that proper balance, and we have to have a biblical balance, and that biblical balance is to leave and to cleave. And then, number three, there's that relationship between a spouse and friends. Now, I want to say this, and you have no business, sir, talking to a female on the phone or having lunch with a female that's not your wife. And ma'am, you have no business having lunch or talking or texting or anything. Now, I understand as a pastor, there's times I text some of the women in this church. But number one, my wife knows about it. And if I can, I'm going to include her husband in on the text so that everybody knows what's going on. Abstain from the appearance of evil. But I see too much, you know, people off in the corner talking. Not here, but I've seen it. Amen. Off the corner. Or they work, say, well, we work together. You better be careful. Because what happens is we develop relationships, friendships with someone of the opposite sex. And listen, ladies, I don't care. I'm just telling you straight up. That guy at work is not interested in your thoughts and feelings. Oh, he's just so caring and loving and he cares about what... No, he doesn't. He's got an ulterior motive. And sir, that woman that's showing you the attention at work that you don't get at home, it has an ulterior motive. And that affection and that companionship that you're trying to get at work or on social media, amen? It's amazing to me. You wouldn't invite your old girlfriend to dinner with you, but you'd be friends with her on Facebook. Well, it's just innocent, preacher. Well, your wife may believe that, but I don't believe it. We need to be careful. Listen, and it doesn't even have to be a questionable relationship. We need to be careful even with friends, my friend, that could be positive. In other words, if you're out playing golf or going hunting or going fishing with the boys all the time and do nothing with your wife, there's a problem. Ladies, if you're off shopping and having tea and having book clubs and having all this stuff without your husband and you never spend time with him, that's a problem. Doesn't have to be anything negative or anti-Christian. It could be something that you look as something positive. And that's why we're careful not to have something going on every night of the week at church, like ladies' Bible studies and men's Bible studies. We have some, but they're not every night of the week. That's why we try not to take you out of the home that much. And if we do something, we try to do it while you're here. And most of the time, we try to do it as a family, because if we're not careful, we lose that balance in relationships, and it can be skewed. And the next thing you know, you're spending all your time having coffee with the girls or playing golf with the guys, and there's no relationship at home, and that's not balance, is it? The other area is not only our family relationships, secondly, in our walk with God. You need to have balance there. You need to be perfect or maturing in your walk with God. Well, what's the conflict? How do we find balance, preacher? We ought to just serve God. I agree with that. But here's what we have to look at. If we're not careful, there's a conflict between church and family. You know what I find interesting? We just finished what I would consider the perfect day. You have the celebration of the birth of Christ with the day that we celebrate Christ every week. Now, I know some people are sick, but you know what? Automatically in June when we start announcing we're going to have the Christmas program on Christmas Eve, you know what we heard? Well, that's the night we open presents with our family. We'll change it. We're talking. You remember what I said this morning about Christ being a priority in our life? When Christ is a priority in your life, there has to be some changes in your life. There has to be some adjustments made to where you say Christ is going to be first. And sometimes that is family versus church. Hey, listen, fellas, can I be honest with you? I've seen it, and I've seen it, and I've seen it. Brother Brandon, we've seen it, and we've seen it, and we've seen people get out of the will of God because a wife doesn't want to go to church here or doesn't want to go to a church, Bible preaching church, or the kids don't, and he doesn't have enough backbone, enough God in him to say, this is where God put us, this is where we're going to stay, and so you need to just get over it and enjoy the preaching. Well, I got to keep my family together, preacher. And every single time that I've seen it, they've gotten out of the will of God, and their family is in worse shape than if they'd have just stayed here and got help from the preaching of God's Word. Amen. So, family is important. Hey, the family was instituted before the church. I understand that. But God was there before the family was there. And so our walk with God has to be first and foremost in our life. And family versus church, we have to have balance. You know what? You can go to church too much. But you can go to church too little. And so we have to find that balance in our life. Duties do not conflict. Hey, your responsibility to serve God should not conflict with your family. Well, we got to have family time. Well, tell the kids to quit playing baseball. Tell the kids to quit playing football. Tell the kids to quit playing in the band. Tell the kids to quit going to spend the night at somebody's house every Friday night. Use your sense, use your wisdom to say, you know what? There's some things we can do, and there's some recreation that we can have, and there's some things we can do outside of church, but it should not cost us our responsibilities in serving God through our local church. So don't be so involved in church that you neglect your family, but don't be so involved in family that you neglect your church. Serve as much as possible as a family. Now, it doesn't always happen this way, but listen, I don't like to see bus workers that their family's not involved in the bus ministry. There's some exceptions, but for the most part, listen, we go out knocking on doors as much as possible. We want a family to go, a husband and wife to go. As much as possible, if somebody sings in the choir, we'd like to see a husband and wife sing in the choir. As much as possible, with youth ministry, children's church ministry, things like that, the ideal situation is for husband and wife to serve together, because that's something else they share. That's that balance. It should not conflict between church and family. We ought to try as much as we can to serve God together. But let me say this as well. If your spouse says, I'm not going to church, you still have a responsibility to say, I'm going with you or without you. Amen. God comes first. And since God instituted the church, when the doors are open to the church, that's where you ought to be and that's where I ought to be. We ought to serve as much as possible as a family. The church should complement the home. Shouldn't be a conflict. It should be complementary. Listen, we preach about the home every year. We try to do, as we mentioned to you, not to have you out of the home 5 and 6 nights a week, and then when you don't show up, say you're probably not right with God because you didn't come to the ladies' prayer meeting or the men's prayer breakfast. I think you ought to come to those things. But if it doesn't fit in your schedule that time, don't come. They're optional. They're there to help you and enhance you. But I also understand I'm not going to put pressure on you and make you feel bad if you don't come to men's prayer breakfast. Now, your wife might, but you ought to try to come. We're not here to have a checklist of who's faithful to God. Well, Brother Jimmy didn't come this week. He's not moving up the good list. Man, I ain't Santa Claus. But you also have to look at the fact that staying home to mow the grass is not a reason to stay out of the men's prayer breakfast. Drowning worms down at the lake because it's the opening day of fishing season or shooting season or whatever is not a valid reason not to come to men's prayer breakfast. Hello? We have to have that balance. The church should complement the home. It should not be in competition with it. But friend, if your wife or your husband says, I'm not going to church tonight, it don't take 14 people to take little Junior's snotty nose and put napkins on it. Somebody ought to be in the house of God. Well, we got to save gas. Well, it don't cost you more gas for you to come if your wife's going to stay at home than it was if you both got in the car and came together. See what I'm saying? We need to be careful. We don't use our home life and our family as an excuse not to serve God and be where we're supposed to be. Because God may remove the excuse from you and you realize that you've lost something because you were not faithful in serving God. It needs to be balanced in our family relationships and our walk with God when it comes to family and church. But also, this is a big one when it comes to Bible reading, prayer time, and soul winning. Now, a lot of times we get off balance. I've met some great men of God, some great churches that are great soul-winning churches, and they run buses and they knock on doors, but they do not have as much emphasis on Bible study and prayer. I met some great preachers that do not have as much devotional life as they do labor life for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've met some that they spend a lot of time in prayer and they spend a lot of time in the Word of God, but they do absolutely nothing, have no outreach in the community. That's unbalanced. I know churches that, listen, and this is an epidemic in the independent Baptists. We have some that all they want to do is worship. Praise God, if you're not shouting, hanging from the chandeliers, you hadn't had church. But it doesn't promote them. It does not encourage them to go out and labor in the community to try to reach people with the gospel that have not heard the gospel. And friend, may I say, you've not really had revival unless it moves you to do something for God. We can shout every Sunday. Man, Brother Brandon knows the songs to sing. We can pump it and prime it until we get a reaction out of you and get you emotional and running down the altar and crying and slobbering and running back. And we think that's revival. But friend, people are dying and going to hell while we're shouting in our churches. And we need to get out there and labor. But we can't labor until we get in the prayer closet with God and worship God to have the power to go out and do what we need to do. And so there has to be that balance. And our prayer and our Bible study life should be to help us to help others. God helps us to help others. You know what? If we're not careful, what we become? Sponges. Well, we'll read something, we'll study something, we'll pray, and God's blessing us, and all he says, God, boy, God sure blessed me today. But do you not realize there's somebody at work that needs to hear how God blessed you? There's somebody in your community that needs God, and you're the witness in that community. If we're not careful, that gets out of balance. But then, also in our walk with God, what can get out of balance is God and our friends. And we say this to our teenagers all the time. I want to say it to the adults. You either are or soon will become like the people you hang around. So, your friends should enhance your walk with God, not hinder it. If your friends hinder your walk with God, it's time to cut them loose. Oh, but we've been friends since we were in kindergarten. I don't care if you were born in the same nursery. If they're not helping your walk with God, they're hindering your walk with God, and you can be a distant friend to them, and you can pray for them, and you can send them letters and cards, but if they're hindering your walk with God and getting you away from God, if that's family, hey, you need to stay as, I don't want to say put your family away, but you don't need to be over at Aunt Emmy's house if she's going to get you away from God. You don't need to be at your friend's house you went to high school with if they're out there drinking and partying and don't care a thing about God. If they're going to say, well, why don't you go with me, young person, on Sunday night? We're going to go out to a ball game, and don't worry. And I say, hey, listen, I'll be honest with you, Brother Fry, I'm kind of glad the Panthers stink as bad as they do this year. Because when they were pretty good, I saw Christians that had no problem missing church to go to a stinking football game. Praise God, you can't give tickets away now. Oh, I think God understands this is a one-time thing. It's an idol. I love to watch the Panthers. I watched them get beat today. And if they play at 4 o'clock, I'm going to watch them to about 4:15, and I'm going to come to church. I'm not going to stay out of church and watch a football game or a basketball game or a golf match or anything. You shouldn't either. Well, it's just one time. Well, it's one time this time, one time next time. Before you know it, it doesn't matter. God understands. God doesn't understand. You show me in the Bible where God understands you lay out of church, go watch a football game or a basketball game. Well, but my little baby's playing. He's playing football. Or he's playing travel ball. And they play on the weekends. Well, maybe little baby shouldn't play travel ball. Oh, yeah. I've cut the horns off the golden calf, haven't I? Well, but you don't understand, preacher. If they don't play travel ball, they won't get a college scholarship. Let me give you two things. Number one, they're probably not going to get one anyway. And number two, I didn't play travel ball, and I got a scholarship. Now, I did play American Legion ball. I shouldn't have done that, looking back on it. But don't you let entertainment, don't you let ball get in the way of God. Because I promise you, they're going to turn out a whole lot better serving God. And don't let them get off with their friends and missing church. And don't, I'm going to tell you this too. While I'm doing it, while I'm plowing up, I'm going to plow it up good. I wouldn't let my kid go to a church of a friend that didn't believe like we believe. I just wouldn't. Say, well, you just, how are they going to get them to come to our church? I don't know. But when you start putting kids in that situation, you know what happens? They start getting confused. Because over here at this church, they got the rock concert, and they got, listen, they don't have standards at their church, and they can do anything they want to, and so I'd rather go there. And I've seen it time and time again. What happens eventually is they're attracted to that, and they're pulled out towards that, and the next thing you know, you're either going to have to stand up as a parent and make a stand, which most times won't happen, or you're going to let them get you out of God's will. Whole lot easier to nip that in the bud to start with before it ever happens and say, you're just going to be here with me at church, and if somebody that believes like we believe, I might let you go, but if they, I'm going to check them out, I'm going to check out everything about them. If they don't believe like we believe, you ain't going. Well, then they'll hate me. Maybe not. What I'm saying is, when it comes to God and friends, there's no choice. It's God. Let me move on. Areas we have must have balance, but let me tell you how to get proper balance. How do we get? Well, I heard a podcast. I don't care about your podcast. I heard on the radio. I don't care about your radio program. I don't care about all that stuff. I read a book that so-and-so recommended. I'm not necessarily against that, but listen, the place you find the proper balance, how to get proper balance, is this. We search the Scriptures. That must be priority in our life. You search the Scriptures. You find in the Word of God where your priorities should be. You find there's no problem that does not have a solution, and the solution is in the solution manual, and the solution manual is the Word of God. We have to trust God that God knows what's best for us. He has proven it time and time and time again, and we can't go off emotions. We can't go off what I think. We cannot go off somebody else's Facebook post. We have to go from the Word of God and what God says. We're to search the Scriptures. God has placed His solutions in the Bible. Our job is to search out God's desire and solution for our life. If you want balance in your life, there ought to be a balance of the Word of God. And I promise you this, if you will simplify your life, it'll be easier to find balance. I'm all for reading. I love to read books. But my priority has to be the Word of God. You don't have to read another book in the world except your Bible, and you'll be fine. Now, if you have time, read some other books. I'm for it. Let me say it again. If you want to lead, you got to read. Amen? Reading is good. Reading is right. You ought to read, and you ought to read as much as you can. But if you have to choose, stick with the Bible. All right? So we have to understand our job is to search out God's desire and solution. I'm going to try to preach, Brother Tim, every single time to help you. Every time I preach, I want it to be something that's going to help you. But here's the problem. Brother Fry, we may preach for a whole year and not deal with an issue somebody's going through. And so you can't always wait for preacher to preach on it. You need to search the Scriptures for yourself and find the answer. So search the Scriptures. Then, next, realize balance will never be fully achieved in this life. Won't happen. You know what I did? I do it every year. End of the year, I spend about 2 weeks. And Brother Harley, I try to, all the projects I had for that year, I try to finish them up. And I take my goals and I look at them and I figure out which goals I met. And I start planning for 2017. And the last thing I do before 2017, I rearrange my calendar. I had a calendar for 2016. You know what? I adjusted it probably 10 times. And so I took all that and I looked at 2017. I said, here's my calendar. Here's when I want to wake up. Here's when I want to read my Bible. Here's when I want to go to the gym. Here's when all these things. And I'll guarantee you before the end of the month, I'm going to be right back in that calendar and I'm going to go, this didn't work. This didn't work. This didn't. I'm going to have to adjust. And you're going to have to make some adjustments in your life to have balance. There's no, you can't set something today and it lasts you the rest of your life. It won't happen. So we have to realize that balance will never fully be achieved. I wish I could tell you, my wife will tell you that our life is hectic and I don't even want to look at our family calendar because it gives me a headache. And we're going in different directions. You know what? Sundays, from the time we get up till the time we go to bed, we're in different directions. I promise you. Get up, she's getting up. I'm getting ready for church. She's getting ready for church. She's getting the girls ready for church. She's fixing food for them. Luke and Hannah are getting ready. Luke usually leaves the house before any of us to get over here and start the sound equipment, start our bus, and then I come over here and I'll do some things and try to turn some heat and air on or whatever needs to be done, and then later Ellen and the kids will come, and then we'll get on the bus and we'll go run our bus route and we'll get to church and we'll go teach Sunday school and go to Sunday school, and then we'll have church, and then we'll go to our bus routes, and she'll take them home, and then I'll go home and try to have something for dinner. Sometimes, most time, I don't get that done. That's the plan, though. And then she has to come back up here at 3 o'clock, at 3:30, and do some things. Then they have choir practice. Then we have church, and then we usually go out to eat with some folks and try to be a blessing that evening. That's only on Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are all the same. We don't hardly see each other. Brother Tim, I wish it'd get better. I wish we could say, you know what, we're going to cut some things out. But I don't see where we are, you see. And there's seasons of ministry that are busier for us as a family and busier for us as a church. And we're not going to cut some things out. But there's other times when we have a little bit of downtime. What I'm saying is you're never going to have this in your life. It's going to be this. And so there's going to be times, seasons of busyness. And then there's going to be times where you're not as busy. It's that way in your job. It's that way in your family. It's that way with church. And so what you've got to do is try to adjust in those times of busyness to go hard at it, as hard as you can go, and then you take some time and relax. So situations and circumstances are always changing. It'd be nice if they didn't. It drives me crazy, but they change. And so the way to have balance is realize that you're never really going to have complete balance in your life. When it comes to personal, when it comes to spiritual, there's always going to be times of busyness and there's going to be times that aren't so busy. So you plan and you plan and you plan and you have contingencies. If this doesn't happen, if this doesn't work, here's what's going to happen. We're planning vacations. We think we know what the dates we want, but we may call and that won't work for us. And then we have to look at another date, Brother Johnny, and that date may not work because we have something going on at church. And so we have to figure out that there has to be some flexibility in our schedule. There has to be some flexibility with you if you're going to have balance. And then when you plan, you need to plan with some margin. What I mean by that is you can't have everything just right up against each other. I mentioned this before. When we first started doing a church calendar, we were so excited to do it. We'd find open dates and we'd just start shoving stuff in there. Oh, we got a Saturday. Let's do a choir workshop, or let's meet and we'll have something going on at church. Or a Friday night's open. Let's have a fellowship. Or let's do something. And by April, everybody was so tired. You're trying to figure out how you're going to get through the rest of the year. So the next year we cut some things out. And the next year, we cut some things out. And when it comes to ministry at this church, some of you realize we didn't have vacation Bible school last summer. Oh, I can't believe we didn't have vacation Bible school. That's like, if you don't have that, that's like messing with the King James Bible. No, it's not. There's 150 churches in this county. Every one of them has a Bible school. Take your kids to their Bible school. We had summer electives, and the kids got to do things on Wednesday night. Had their own. See what I'm saying? You have to evaluate things and see if they work. You have to think, are we doing this because it's tradition? Or are we doing it because it's biblical? If it's biblical, we need to do it. If it's tradition and we've always done it, it may not be a bad thing. We may continue to do it. But don't let it be your golden calf that if we cut out Bible school from the summer program that you fall out and say we're not a old-fashioned independent Baptist church because we don't have Bible school. You give me chapter and verse, we'll go back to having Bible school. Well, preacher, that's a good way to reach children. Well, that sounds good. But a lot of what it was our kids and a week of fun activities and people's grandkids, and I'm not against that. But if there's something we could do more effectively, we should do that. You have to plan with margin. And you can have some balance. And then finally, balance is made by making constant changes. You know what I've learned in these years, and Brother Brandon will tell you this, a growing ministry is a changing ministry. It's always changing. We look at things every year. Sunday school, we'll say, okay, we need to change some classes up. We need to move some people around. This class is here, and they've outgrown their class, and this one's smaller. We're going to plug them there. And you know what? If you don't understand it, and I want you to understand that as a church, because sometimes people get their feelings hurt because we ask a class to move out of this room and go to this one. Well, that's been our class for 14 years, and they're moving us out. Well, we need it for something else. A growing ministry is always changing. We have two bus routes. My goal for 2017 is to have four bus routes. It's changing. You know what happens when you have four bus routes? We're going to have a new children's church down here. Well, my kids like the children's church class they're in right now. Well, then they might have to like the one they might be in next year or next month. Or we may have to add two more. You see? Brother Jimmy's stressing out right now. But we've always got to make constant changes when it comes to our life. Life is no different than ministry. There's going to be changes you've got to make, and you may have done something for the last 10 years, and this year is different, and you have to have balance. You may have gotten up and read your Bible at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock for the last 10 years, and there may be something come up that you have to do in the evening where you can't get up at 4 o'clock. Don't get all bent out of shape. Just make changes to your schedule. All right, we have to find balance, and we have to make those constant changes in our life, or we're not going to have balance. And if we don't have balance in life, we won't have balance in ministry. And if we don't have balance in ministry, you have people that get burned out. And when they get burned out and they sit on a pew, what happens, Brother Kenneth, is you never, rarely ever get them back in ministry. Once they step out of the choir, Brother Brandon mentioned it this morning, once they step out of the choir, it's hard to get them back in the choir. Once they get out of teaching Sunday school, it's hard to ever get them to teach Sunday school. Once they quit going knocking on doors, it's hard to get them to ever knock on doors again. And so the idea, let's find some balance where we don't run people to death. And may I say this, and I'll close. One of the ways to do that in ministry is for everybody to get involved somewhere to where the same people aren't doing everything. Hello? So you're not doing anything. If I come up and ask you, say, hey, would you be interested in helping with this? Well, I don't know, preacher. Let me pray about it. Brother Fry, you know what that means? I'm not going to do it, but I want to sound spiritual about it. The right answer said, if you need me to do it, preacher, I'll do it. I'll do it. But I don't want to do it. Well, sometimes we get our childish attitudes back, don't we? I don't want to do it. Well, I didn't ask you if you want to do it. It needs to be done, see? If everybody just did what they want to do, nothing would get done around here, would it? So sometimes you got to say, you know what, this may not be my first choice of doing something in ministry, but that's something pastor thinks I need to do, and I'm just going to jump in and do it. And God may give you a heart for it. Amen? But the goal is not you. The goal is the cause of Christ. And the goal is for us to serve God together till Jesus comes. And in order to do that, you've got to have balance in ministry, but you've got to have balance in your life. And the Christian life, there has to be that balance. And if there's no balance, I promise you, if you're leaning too much to one side, what's going to happen is eventually you're going to break. And it's probably the most difficult part of the Christian life is just to find balance. And I pray in 2017, that's what you'll find, what I'll find, what our church will find, and we'll see great things this year because we're balanced, we're perfect Christians, mature in the things of God. Let's stand together. Let's stand together, bow our heads. No one's looking around. Maybe tonight you need to come get around the altar. Some are making their way even now. And you just need to say, God, help me find that balance in my life that I need. I want to work for you. I want to labor. I want to be productive in our walk with God, but I need balance in my life. I need it in my job. I need it in my family. I need it in my Christian walk. Whatever it is, you come. Maybe today, tonight, the Lord spoke to your heart about being saved. Won't you come? Maybe tonight, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and said, you know what? You need to get involved. You need to get involved. Whatever it is, you make your way to the altar. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you come.